Ching, ching, bling, bling, let's cut the chatter. On today's episode, we explore the Big Brother effect. Welcome to the Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else podcast. I'm your host, David Tucci, an educator, a father of three. Join me as I take you on a funky journey through life from a reckless young man to a humbled older man. Each week, I will offer different insights on my life experiences and the experiences of others and how that has shaped our present day realities. So let's begin our funky journey into improving our health, wealth, and you guessed it, everything else.
Is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
Very delightful.
Since we've no place to go,
start the show, start the show, start the show.
It doesn't show signs of stopping.
So Tucci's ready for talking.
The lights are turned down low.
Will you start the show, start the show, start the show already?
When we finally kiss goodnight.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Tucci Talks, where we talk wealth, health, and everything else. We enter the last episode of 2020, a year that changed the world. Everything is different from here on out. With all the struggle comes opportunity for real growth and real change as more and more of us attempt to take control of our own life in this new bifurcated world of haves and have-nots. Many have lost jobs and quite frankly feel lost. This is the time to learn some new skills, sharpen the tools in your tool belt, and do not fear change. Embrace it. My guest today has embraced much change in his life, and we will be exploring how the impact of being a big brother has shaped much of his thought process and his decision making. Before we do that, let's look back to last week's episode and see what we learned. Don't forget to visit TucciTalk75.com, share your thoughts, discover some new ways of challenging yourself with the various topics we've explored in Season 1. What did I learn from the Life and Basketball podcast last week? We all come from different backgrounds. We all have been raised in different environments. As long as we can find a common ground, the differences can be viewed as strengths. For the boys who are now men, their common ground was basketball, and I had the fortune of being a catalyst for growth and change. I took my role as a coach very seriously. I understood the gravity of my role, and listening to Andre, Clint, Matthew, Asari, and Sukhpreet speak so eloquently reminded me of a time of great commitment and sacrifice, and a job well done for that matter. To learn that they still view one another as family and still connect to this day speaks to the fact that despite our differences, we have the greatest commonality, being human beings. And with humanity in mind, we can all agree there is a frailty there, a fragility, and a vulnerability. My next guest was not afraid to show his vulnerabilities. Raised in an immigrant household, much was put on his shoulders. As the eldest sibling, he was tasked with behaving in a manner that set the example for his younger siblings, leaving little margin for error. His conservative ways put him on a path to law school. He currently practices law. He is a loving husband and a father of four. Yes, count it. 1, 2, 3, 4 beautiful children. He is also my older brother and a pivotal personality in helping me grow into the person I have become. Whether that's good or bad, who knows? So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Vincent Tucci to Tucci Talks. So welcome to Tucci Talks. Thanks for coming on the podcast. You've been the focus of some ridicule on some of the episodes. Do you think it's warranted?
Of course it is. I'm your big brother. Big brothers always are subject to ridicule from little brothers.
Why?
It's just one of those, I think, natural things where, you know, the little brother looks up to the big brother, thinks big brother is a big, you know, a-hole and has to ridicule him.
And that's a good segue into the title. So the title of this episode is The Big Brother Effect. Do you think you as a big brother had an inherent responsibility for us to model the right way to behave and kind of set the stage for how it was going to be for your younger brothers? Did you feel like you needed to do that?
You know, it wasn't really a matter of did I feel like I needed to do that. I think it just came naturally. But part of it, I think, was from our parents. Because a lot of the times they'd say, you got to set an example for your brothers.
So they would tell you that. Mom and dad would tell you that specifically.
Mom and dad would always tell me that.
So did you feel pressure then to have to do that? Because we look at birth order and there are these studies like Alfred Adler was a 19th century Austrian psychotherapist. And he talks about birth order. And like, for example, the oldest child is more conservative. The younger child's a little more ambitious and reckless. Did you feel like you were a little more conservative compared to Absolutely. Me and Bob?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, growing up, I was always more conservative. I was always more responsible than you guys.
Okay, let's dig into that. More responsible. How so? How were you more responsible? Did you have different chores than me and Bob had?
It's not a matter of chores growing up as kids. I'm talking when we were older. For example, I had to be home by midnight when I went out.
Okay.
And you and Bob would always get to go out because you guys went out together because you're a year apart. You guys come home late, and then I would complain to Dad, and Dad would say, oh, but there were two of them.
Right.
They were together. So
I don't know. Maybe mine and Bob, maybe our stories were a little more exciting for Dad than yours. That's why he wanted us to stay out and he wanted more. He wanted to hear it.
And there you go. And that's because you guys were a little more reckless than I would have been. I would have been more conservative. And I'm sure you guys had.
Yeah. Now, just for the listeners, you are 3 years older than me. And no. I'm the youngest. And
are you serious? I'm 4 years older.
You're 4 years older than I am. And you're 2.5 years older than Bob.
3 years older than Bob.
Yeah, give or take. And maybe that's what was a big thing. The fact that we were close in age and we were close, but not like when we got older going out. What do you remember as kids? Any stories you remember as us as kids?
Sure. There's a lot of stories. Remember the one I remember is the ketchup chips.
Why does this sound familiar?
It's familiar because we all liked that was like our favorite chips were ketchup, the ketchup flavored chips. And
did you stop you and, something like you stole them, right?
No. So you and Bob would eat the ketchup chips, not leave me any. So one day I took a whole bag of ketchup chips and I hid them in my room. And then you and Bob went hunting for them. And I snapped on you guys because you guys found them and ate those chips too. Don't you remember?
I remember me and Bob navigating a plan to steal these chips and find them because that's how you were though. And even when we would... I remember talking to Bob about this. It's like, Vinny's ridiculous. I said, why? What happened? This is when we were driving. We're adults. We're in university. And we had Cavaliers, okay? And there was the black Cavalier and the white Cavalier. And there wasn't a tape deck back in the day. It was when we were playing tape decks. There wasn't a tape deck in the white car. So you would always take the black car. Then the tape deck in the black car broke and Bob put some kind of pseudo tape deck and you take the white car and you're like, I'm the oldest. I get to have whatever I want. So, so that's why we hated you, Vin.
But that's the older brother. That's that.
No,
that
do you understand? Do you understand how you mentioned earlier how you were a little bit, we thought you were a bit of an a-hole because of this whole idea of entitlement?
Yeah.
Like you felt like, no, I deserve it because I paved the way for you guys. So now you owe me, so to speak. Is that the mindset?
Exactly the mindset I had back then.
You're a jackass.
I paved the way for you guys. You guys that end up coming home at 2-3 in the morning and you guys didn't get in trouble, where I'd come home 5 minutes after 12 and I'd be yelled at the next morning that I missed curfew.
So were you resentful of that? Did you resent?
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, I would say, I was, I think I was resentful of that. And that's why I behaved the way I did.
Clean yourself up. You're a mess.
Where I felt that if I'm going to have the greater responsibility, then I deserve to have the greater privilege.
That makes sense. I wonder if a lot of older siblings think that. Be curious to see. I'd be curious to if anybody listening email me and tell me their story, because I think you're in some company there with that mindset. So I want to address the elephant in the room. And I did an episode in episode two where I share a story about being resilient and sticking up for yourself, not being pushed around. And I had a couple listeners email me, and some through Snapchat, they were like, did you really do that? So the elephant in the room is when I punched you.
When the unexpected sucker punch that dropped me to my knees.
You call it a sucker punch, but if you listen to the story, I know listeners got my side of the story, and just quick recap, my side was, you might have a different perspective on this. Hear me out, and then you have an opportunity to speak. So my side is I'm in grade 9 and I'm in high school. It's important how you look. And I had wavy hair, and I had to make sure that I had my curly gel with me, and I would have to wet my hair and just infuse that curly gel in my hair, because again, looks were important as a high school kid. Now you come into the bathroom as I'm in this process and you hit me, you tap me, you say, hurry up. And I said, relax, wait. And you kept doing it. You kept pushing me to hurry up to finish so you could use the bathroom, so you could do whatever it is you had to do. And I said, wait till I'm done, then you can have it. At which point I got super annoyed and frustrated. I looked you dead in the eye and I took my right hand, front two knuckles, clean shot right to the chin.
Hadouken!
You paused for a moment and then dropped to your knees and I took off. Is that kind of how it happened? What's your side?
That sounds very familiar, actually. Because you were my annoying little brother who had to mess around with his hair for too long. And I needed to use the bathroom to get ready because I had to go out just as much as you did.
But I was there first. I was there first, correct?
You were there first. No doubt. I'm not denying that. You were there first, but you were taking too long. And I needed you out.
So is this the sense again? Could we go back to that theme of like this idea of you deserve the greater privilege because you paved the way?
Partly, but in that instance, it was just that you were just annoying me because you were taking way too long. That, you know, I just needed you to hurry
did you
up.
Ever, like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that.
I tell, that's why it, that there's that split second where before I dropped, there was like that pause is because I was in shock.
But I cracked you right in the chin.
Right in the chin.
And I think listeners, this is good that we're candid because I don't think listeners really understand. Well, they do. I try to give some insights, and I did a violence against women topic with Nadia, who we went to high school with. And we were talking about how our parents raised us, and we were discussing how we were playing outside fending for ourselves. And I think my aggression came from there. And let's not sugarcoat it. We were hit as kids.
Yeah. Corporal punishment was part of our upbringing.
Right. And Nadia was saying it doesn't make it right just because we got brought up like that, but she's she's basically saying that our parents did the best that job they possibly could do. It wasn't in this intention to hurt us.
Right. And I agree with that. I don't think the intention, I mean, we're their kids. I don't think they necessarily wanted to hurt us. They just felt that that was the only way we would understand what we did was wrong.
That's how they felt. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I'm just reflecting back and thinking of some of the moments. Do you remember when dad was choking me? He picked me up and you were punching him in the arm.
How old were we?
Like, I don't know. I think we were, 12. I was 12. You were like 15, yeah. Maybe.
Right. That's the story. That's the time when I pulled him off you and put you behind me. Then he punched me and I went down. I got up and I said, you're never going to touch my brother again. And you're never going to do that to me again. And he never laid a finger on me again.
Nice. I don't remember that part. All I remember is like this guy, because he had construction hands and he had it. And we were never going to kind of like retaliate. That's the kind of the way we were raised. Right. We did reckless things. We took the beatings that we took. Move on next day. Well, right.
Yeah. But I got to say, though, when that happened, though, it wasn't as calm as we're discussing it now. There was a lot of yelling that happened.
Yeah, no, all I remember was him choking me and me like I'm gasping for breath. And then you came in and you freaking like you punched him in the arm or something. I don't know what you did.
In his arms and to break the hold. And then I threw you behind me. And then that's when he got upset and he punched me. I went down to my knees. I got right back up and I said, you'll never do that again. You'll never hit me and you're never going to touch my brother again.
Child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Right. I mean, these are real issues. And even when we were younger, kind of we still remember this to this day. So would you agree that Bob got the most punishment in terms of hitting?
Probably. Yeah, I'd probably say yes. I'd say that I got less than he did, and you definitely got less than him.
Right.
And I'll tell you what my theory on that is as to why.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Let's see if you agree or not. For you, I think it's because you were the youngest, so you were spared.
I thought it was because I was the best looking.
But to be the man, you got to beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man. Woo!
And he didn't want to like he goes okay I gotta keep this he didn't want to mess my face up too much.
Maybe I can't get inside his head, so I don't know. I can tell you, for me, being the oldest, being what I felt, and I don't know if you agree or not, I was probably the most responsible,
right?
One, so I always feared the punishment, so I tried to walk the straight and narrow.
Right.
Whereas Bob was wilder. He didn't matter to him. He did whatever he wanted. At times, you know what I mean?
And I remember this story, and I'm sure Bob's not going to mind me sharing it. Because again, I think we're like 5 or 6 years old. And obviously, like you said, Bob got the most. He was the most, I guess, disobedient, for lack of a better word. But
that's a good way.
Yeah. So I remember I wasn't in the room. I don't know what he did. I can't remember. But dad brought him to another room. This is when we were at the old house. Dad brought him to another room and the belt came off and he was taken right to the rear end, just beats with the belt. And I hear, like when an animal is in distress and they're yelping.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I was like,
yeah, I remember that.
I was like, my God, what is going on? Yeah. And Bob couldn't sit for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I remember.
And the thing I'm saying is like, when you relate, when we share these stories and you think today, you're like, people are probably thinking, who, this guy's ridiculous. Meaning dad.
Our father. Yeah.
But we never felt that. I can't explain it. We never felt like, we just felt like that's, we deserve it. Not to sense that, that to that extent.
No, we, because Dave, that growing up, that was the expectation for us. If you did something wrong, you knew you were taking a beating. You just knew it.
And you know what? It's not just, I don't think it's just us. I think it's a lot of people our age.
Sure. Our generation. And
even, but even in the episode I just did, we talked about that. So a lot of the kids that I coach that are now in their 30s, early 30s, they said they got physical beatings too. They were of immigrant parents as well. And I'm not sure if that has something to do with it. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know, but I know that we were expected to behave a certain way and do not disrespect your family.
Right. Absolutely. How many times, don't you remember when we used to visit, you know, relatives, their houses, and we were offered something? What did we have to do?
We had to refuse.
Unless we looked at dad and dad nodded his head and then we could take it.
Yeah. Don't you remember? That's right. That's crazy, man.
If we looked over at him and he nodded yes, then we could take it.
Then we could take it.
Otherwise, we didn't accept anything. We always said, no, thank you.
Nothing for you.
That's right. So I've spoken about on past episodes about you being a lawyer. Just recently, I did a real estate episode. What prompted you to get into law?
Oh, that's easy. So when I was in grade 4, I actually wanted to be a police officer.
Okay. I don't even know this.
Yeah, no, why would you? You never asked me. You've never asked me what made me want to become a lawyer. Nobody
I would never think to say, to even ask you about being a police officer, especially after I took you down in one shot.
Finish him.
I can't see you fighting the law like that. I think you took the smarter approach.
I'll tell you why. So I got smart. Then in grade 5, when I was a year older, you know, you get older and wiser, I realized that I could be shot as a cop. And I said, I don't want to be a cop. I'd rather be a lawyer and put criminals away.
Right, right. So did you want to get into criminal law? Was that the whole... So did that set your path in school, like in high school? Because just to give the listeners an idea, this is another reason why we hated you, me and Bob. Because when we were in high school, we all went to the same high school. All the teachers expected us to act like you.
See, I was the role model. I
swear to God, we're like, we're not him. Stop expecting us to be him.
Yeah.
We're more of the rebellious type. Like you said, you were conservative. You basically stayed in line. And me and Bob were not like that.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So that when you started taking these, taking law serious, like all the way back then?
Yeah, grade 6. I knew right from grade 6. By that time, I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
Okay. So just let me just go on a little bit of a side note, a tangent here. You have, because that's rare. Let's face it. Grade 6, you know, you want to be a lawyer and then you become a lawyer. Would you not agree that that's rare?
Very rare.
Okay, so you have 4 kids, and one is embarking on her journey to university next year.
Yep, she's going to university in September.
Which is mind-blowing to me, first of all. But anyway, what does she want to be?
She wants to be a teacher.
Did she know this recently? Did she discover it, or did that come?
Well, you know, Steph, my wife, is a teacher.
Okay.
So she wanted to follow her mother's path. She's known probably since grade 8 or 9.
Wow. Okay. Like I said, this stuff is not normal. A lot of kids in university are changing. I just had a guest on the podcast who said his most memorable moment was navigating university because he changed majors 3 times in university.
Right. Right. So, and she may change her mind.
And you're okay with that.
This is the other thing. But remember, maybe there is something to what you mentioned earlier about the oldest sibling. She's the oldest.
Right.
I can tell you my youngest, who's in grade 6 right now, Sarah, has no clue what she wants to do when you ask her.
Fair enough.
My son, who's in grade 8, you ask Michael, what do you want to do, Michael, when you grow up? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no clue.
And it doesn't matter. I guess as parents, we're just here to guide and help shape them, give them advice. They're going to go through their struggles. And I don't know. Obviously, our children are growing up differently than how we grew up.
Oh, absolutely. It's completely different.
Like night and day different.
Absolutely night and day different.
Do you think it mattered that there was no female? Like we didn't have a sister?
In our family?
Yeah, the way
absolutely made a difference. I think if dad had a daughter, I bet you he wouldn't have been the way he was.
Interesting.
He would have acted differently towards her. Do you really picture dad hitting his daughter?
Yeah, I do.
Finish her. I don't.
I do. And now people are going to say that's sexist, what you're saying right now.
It's not because it's sexist. It's because he's old school. And that old school mentality, they didn't hit girls.
Well, we asked him. He said he would have been the same way because you know what he's about. He's about fairness. If he gives me 200 grams of pasta, he's giving you 200 grams of pasta. It's got to be to the science. I don't know.
I think a daughter would have mellowed him out a bit.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. Okay, let's get back to now as a lawyer. So you knew in grade 6 that you wanted to be a lawyer. And did it alter the way you took courses in high school or no? You just did the breath requirements, whatever you needed to take?
It did. Of course it did. I took the requirements I needed to take. And then any elective course that I took wasn't even close to science or math.
Right, right.
It was always like a history, another history, geography, an English, reading and writing.
I remember I actually loved, as the younger brother, I loved watching you play basketball in high school. You were an athlete back then. And how important is sports to overall well-being? Because some people think that it's not necessarily just sports that you could be involved in to make a well-rounded individual. But it seems like society just pushes sports a lot.
Yeah, I agree with the premise that it doesn't have to be sports. But I think to be well-rounded, you need something more than just academics.
Right. And what were your experiences like playing sports in high school?
I actually, it's funny. I loved playing sports, but I played pretty much everything I could in high school.
Right.
Except for soccer, because soccer was the sport I played in the summer off school.
Right, right.
So I didn't want to play during school. So I played high school football. I played basketball. I ended up playing baseball. Those are the three sports I played in high school because they were different from what I was normally used to.
So what was funny? You said it's funny.
No, it's funny that you say that because I actually hated the high school sports because of some of the coaches.
Really?
Because at that early age, I could see favoritism. Because I wasn't the best. I wasn't the best athlete on the team.
Right.
The best player. So if I made a mistake, let's say in basketball, yeah, I'd be benched. And then another player who was perceived as the best player on the team makes a mistake and he's left out there. And that's where I learned that life is completely not fair and that you just have to live with it and learn to deal with things.
And then as an older brother, there's that effect about this idea of justice, right? So that's what probably pissed you off.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt. Looking back, of course, that played a part in it.
See, what we would say, what me and Bob would say would be like, get better.
No, but that I get that. And I did. I worked hard in practice. I always worked hard.
Right.
The way I played is the way I practiced. I wasn't a slacker in practice and then thought, okay, I'll just go play the game, whatever, I did playing, that's what I could do. I always tried to get better.
Right.
But it's inevitable. You're going to make mistakes, right?
Absolutely. No, I get it. And like I said, I enjoyed watching you play in high school because I was in elementary school and I would go to some of the games. And I don't know, you just feel inspired as a young individual. And I always want to say, I want to get good. I want to get better. I want to get better than Vinny. I want to get better than Bob.
You know, and I like hearing that because I never knew that back then. You never said anything. You never gave the indication that.
No,
that
and nor would I. Think. Yeah, nor would I. You know, you got to understand. I was at the core. I was not allowed when I was younger. I wasn't allowed to play. I'm too young, not tall enough. Wait till you're older. It fueled me. It fueled that passion. And I go, I'm not going to let these guys ever see me sweat. And I'm just going to work hard. And I'm going to be better than.
I gave you that.
Well, you introduced me. I love this game so much, chess. You introduced me to chess. It was because of you that I play chess to this day. That's my morning routine. A quick game of chess, get my mind working. And you would beat me mercilessly at chess. And I hated it. But I never told you that I hated it. And I just kept playing until I consistently beat you. And then you're like, I don't want to play anymore. I don't like chess.
It wasn't that. Because I'd been playing for so long that I finally got tired of it. But right. That's why we played other board games. Well, Stratego, for example.
Yeah.
And I knew growing up, I always knew you cheated. I always knew you cheated, but I couldn't prove it. I had no way of proving it.
Bro, you know what the saying goes, don't you?
Yeah. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Exactly.
I remember. I was
any means necessary. Any means necessary.
Brother.
I just want people out there to know that I'm not condoning cheating. Okay? It was a sickness that I had. And it was fueled by older guys creating this Mr. Hyde character that became me, and I always had to win, and I hated it. I didn't like it.
Let me tell your listeners, they have to understand this. I remember vividly this one game of Stratego that we were playing. I was knocking your pieces out left and right. I was going to win this game. There's no doubt in my mind. I had to go to the bathroom so badly. I was holding it in. But I couldn't wait till the end of the game. So I even specifically said to you, I have to go to the bathroom. Stay on your side, you know, and we'll finish the game when I come back. I go to the bathroom. I come back. You're sitting there nice and quietly, you know, like good little brother. I thought you were. Next thing I know, I'm getting wiped out, and you capture my flag.
Outstanding.
And I said to you, I specifically said to you, you cheated. You looked when I went to the bathroom, didn't you? And as serious as anybody could ever be, you looked me square in the eye and said, no, I didn't. I didn't, Vinny. I didn't. I promise you, I didn't.
Was it authentic? Did you believe me?
Of course I believed you. You're my little brother.
And you know that I did some plays, right? I did some acting.
Yeah,
I did a play for the elementary school I went to, and then the church I did a play for. So I guess my acting skills came in handy on that one.
Yeah, and I never trusted you when we played games, so that's why I always wanted to finish before anything could be interrupted.
I would never trust me. I couldn't trust. Do you think you were smarter than me and Bob? Honestly, be honest.
Did I think I was?
Yeah. Or you're gonna say I knew I was.
I know now I am.
How? How do you know that?
It's just we understand the hierarchy in our family.
Okay.
We understand that hierarchy, and we understand that I wasn't the best in sports, so I was the best academic. I was the smartest in the family. Then you were probably the best in sports. I know Bob would disagree with that, but you were probably the best in sports. You know what? No, Bob is the best with his hands. Yeah, I'll admit that.
He is. He's awesome.
He's when it comes to, you know, things around the house, like do-it-yourself stuff.
Tactile, figuring things out. Yeah.
Yeah, figuring things like that. he's the best at that.
His mind. Do you remember when we were kids? And I'm never going to forget this because we laugh about it today. But Bob got this. I think I got Rocket Hockey. Okay. For Christmas. I got Rocket Hockey.
Yeah.
Bob got this truck, this monster truck that when it crashes into everything, it just keeps going. It does flips right. And kids. And you got the Quiet Riot record.
Yes.
And like you were kind of sad.
I know where you're going with this. Okay, go ahead.
And,
I know exactly where you're going with this.
And me and Bob tried to make you feel better. And we're like, don't worry, Vin, you're the best at records.
You're the best at records. I knew that was coming.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, those were good days. We used to play hand hockey, 2-on-1, me and Bob versus you.
Yeah, it was always you and
for
Bob
hours. Yeah, hours of play. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't happen anymore today. Would you say that's a negative? Would you say technology has improved to the point like right now we can Zoom and have this meeting? We have the virtual learning. Your daughters and your son going through the virtual learning piece yeah. that wouldn't be possible back then. What do you think about all the transition that's gone on from when we were kids to now? I know it's a little bit of a loaded question, but, you know, tackle it however you want.
No, for all the good, we've had these discussions before, brother.
Of course.
You know how I feel. But for all the good that technology's brought to us, there's a downside to it. I think there's less human connection now because of that.
But how? We're connecting right now.
No, but it's not the same as when you're in person. Like personal connection. To me, when you're with somebody, it's different than when we're on this call, you know, the way we are now. Sure, we can be candid, we can be open, but, you know, facial expressions, body movements, you know, things like
that. So at your firm now with COVID, how is the business proceeding?
Nothing's changed for us. We're an essential service as a real estate lawyer. We're considered essential.
No, so, I'm saying, are you still conducting? You're not conducting meetings in person. Does it make a difference
with
clients?
Absolutely, we are.
Oh, you are?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because we're an essential service. So we have strict mask regulations. They have to hand sanitize when they come into our office clients.
Right.
They have to wear a mask. They can't. We refuse to meet with them. If they say, no, I'm not wearing a mask, we don't meet with them. But
you
do understand that my firm, we have been mobile since the beginning. I've been here now 4 years. The 4 years I've been there, their model is mobile. We send signing commissioners to people's houses to sign their documents so they wouldn't meet with lawyers.
Okay.
Only if they can't set up that kind of a meeting and they need to come into the office, they will.
So what's the downside to that? There's no downside. Technology has offered you that avenue.
No, but Dave, I'm telling you that clients, there are a lot of clients, especially older clients, that want that face-to-face, that they will not do that, will not do mobile or Zoom that, you know, that we offer. And we offer it for free. It's not as if we charge more.
Right, right.
It's included in our fees. But they want to meet face-to-face.
We're talking real estate and this is such an important transaction that they want to.
Most likely that's
right.
How they're feeling. And in case they have any questions, they want to be able to ask directly, because the way we work is if the signing commissioner, if the client has a question, then there's a lawyer on standby that they call and then the lawyer can speak to the client.
Right. Right. I'm wondering. Yeah, I'm wondering, I did the real estate episode and Craig was telling me that the industry is saturated. Real estate agents, it's saturated. Would you say, what's your experience with some of these real estate agents?
We see, here's the catch with us. We're a large volume firm.
Okay.
For example, I'll give you an example. Our December now, even with Christmas and things are supposed to slow down, we're doing over 800 deals this month.
Okay. Is that considered a lot?
Well, yeah. My old firm, I was doing maybe 40 deals a month.
Oh, yeah, that's significant.
It's more than significant.
Yeah.
So we deal with a lot of agents. So it's hard for me. I mean, they're a source of our business. Without agents, we wouldn't have the volume we have.
Right, right.
And I mean, I love the fact that agents, you know, provide us with all that business.
Okay.
At the same time, I find that there's, like in any business, there's good agents and there's bad.
Right. So it's up to me let's say I want to buy or sell a home. I have to just do my due diligence, like I mentioned on the podcast.
Absolutely. You have to. Even when you're searching for an agent, you have to do your due diligence.
Yeah.
Right? Look, I don't know with agents if now there's standard commission, which I have a sense there probably is, you know, because a lot of the deals I see, the commission is around 5%. Split
okay.
between two agents, yeah.
right?
The listing agent and the buyer's
right.
agent. So if it's standard, you're going to have a lot of these agents who are going to say, well, doesn't matter what my commission is, I'm going to do everything I can, you know, for my clients. Whereas you have other agents who take the approach, well, I'm getting 2.5% regardless. I'll do the bare minimum.
Hello, teaching profession. We're speaking to you. Right. But then those are the ones that aren't going to get the word of mouth business.
Right. Absolutely. But here's the thing I'm finding. And here, getting back to your question about technology. Here's another negative, I think, is that these agents who, even though they don't get good word of mouth, word of mouth isn't what it used to be anymore because you have the internet. People just go on the internet and look for people. They won't. I don't get the sense anymore that it's okay, Dave, you know, you sold your house. Who, you know, who's the agent you used? Was he good or not anymore? That doesn't happen as often. It's somebody just going on the internet and who knows the reviews that there are listed there, if they're true or, you know, if they're fake reviews.
Yeah, I guess that is, that's a, yeah, that's a downside. That's a downside.
It's a downside. So I think that we've lost a lot of this word of mouth, whereas previously the business was a lot more about word of mouth. You know, who did you use? And then they'd ask somebody else, who did you use? And then, you know, somebody would say, oh, he was great. Somebody else would say, he wasn't that good. I wouldn't use him.
No, I know. I'm just conflicted because honestly, I love technology. I love using my phone. Look at us. You know, you're involved with us in Bitcoin. I mean, without the internet and technology, that wouldn't be possible. And I love that too, because it makes it more efficient to pass money around the internet internationally, borderless, permissionless. I mean, without, I don't know. I know what you're saying, that we've gone down the rabbit hole and it's brought a lot of negativity as well with the positive, but I don't think we're going back.
We're not.
I think we're moving into the AI world next.
I don't disagree with that. I think you're absolutely right about that.
So your idea of human contact, I think it's going to get less and less.
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that we're going to move towards, let's put it in a fictional setting, more of a Star Trek type of setting as the future moves on.
What? Star Trek.
That man actually does come together, come closer.
Oh, yeah.
The whole premise, I don't know if you ever watched Star Trek, probably not that much.
Okay, what's the premise?
Is that they find out that there's more than just Earth and humans, right? There's other alien species.
Correct.
So Earth now comes together as one to protect and fight any force. Out
so
there.
You want us, you think humanity needs to have this Star Trek moment?
if for the world eventually not to.
Because I'm saying we're becoming more isolated.
Right.
Look at the statistics. Suicide rates from 14 to 26 up. Mental depression up. Everything's up. And it's only getting worse.
Yes, but what's that attributable to though?
You can't say you can't just say technology.
No, but that's my point. I'm not saying that it's technology. That's my point. You don't know. Dave, I have no idea why suicide rates are up.
Yeah.
Are you talking about this year? Are you talking in the last 10 years they're up or last 5 years?
Right. I think in the last decade, I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, it'd be nice to get some experts and talk about this stuff too.
Well, a lot of it is isolationist in that. Well, I look at this, look at us, you, me and Bob, for example. I think we're a pretty good family. We're close knit.
Okay. Let me interject for a moment. You would agree that me, you, and Bob are tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would
too.
I think so too. Do you think the fact that Dad did what he did to us bounded us together? Like we needed to be there for one.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
We have to look out for each other.
And that forged the bonds that we have today.
Mind you, that's only part of it. I think we are still on that path, even if Dad didn't go.
I'm just trying to bring the story full circle as we wind down here. I'm just trying to bring that story full circle and just click.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's why we're tight.
Yeah, no, that's part of it. I mean, Dad always instilled in us, you know, that closeness. Always wants to be close. And why is that? Why is that?
Because he wasn't close with his brother. He doesn't talk to his brother anymore.
Exactly.
Right.
So he didn't want us to go through that.
Right.
That's part of it. And then unknowingly, his behavior and the way he disciplined us brought us closer together in any event.
Right. And I hope that we continue to stay strong and stay tight and just be there now as grown men. We have kids. All of us have kids. We got to be there for our kids. I'm a teacher. I try to always be there for my students as best I can. I mean, I'm not always going to make the right decisions, but I'm living, learning, and evolving.
You know, I'm proud of you, little brother.
Oh, I've always been proud of you. I just don't say it. And maybe we should start saying that more. I mean, because I know as a coach, the five words that you got to say is "I'm so proud of you." That elevates a person, but not just to say it. I mean, you really mean it. It's got to be authentic. All right. I know. And I'm proud of what you've become, what you've done. And that's why we continue to be tight moving forward. I know a lot of brother relationships are fragmented and like our father doesn't talk to his brother. I have some colleagues at work, doesn't talk to their brother. So, okay. Let's wind down with my guess what segment. Okay. What I'm going to do is I honestly think you're going to rock this segment. It's
No, you built me up. Now I'm in trouble.
No.
when you make a statement like that, there's only one way I can go. That's down, brother.
No, I'm the clue giver. So okay. I have faith in my ability to give you good clues. So six movies, 2 minutes. You know how you're familiar with $20,000 pyramid, right? And it's going to be movies with brothers involved and or the actual word brothers in the title.
Okay.
So you're going to have 2 minutes on the clock. You have a small investment with TNT funds in your Bitcoin with us. I will add a micro Bitcoin to the fund that you have.
Sounds good.
Because I'm in a giving mood. It's Christmas. And I believe you're going to do it. So here we go. Let me start the clock.
Guess
what?
Marvel movie, Loki. Who's Loki's
Avengers?
Brother? Who's Loki's
Avengers.
Brother?
Oh, Thor.
Yes.
Okay, so you got it. I
Next.
Get it now. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I can't remember the year. Sorry, brother. I'm just going to give you this. I'm an excellent driver. Yeah. I'm an excellent driver. Yes. Beautiful. Jim Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, 1980 movie.
Brothers.
Yes. This might be tough. 2005, a John Singleton film starring Mark Wahlberg. Tyrese Gibson was in it. It's an action movie. What comes after the number three?
Four.
Yeah. Two words in the title.
Four brothers?
Yep. Next, you're rock. I told you you're going to rock this. Will Ferrell and Adam McKay.
Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Let's go. All you have to say was Will Ferrell. Let's go.
All right, last one, and you got it. Directed by Edward Burns, 1995. Edward Burns actually produced it, directed it, starred in it. It deals with the lives of three Irish Catholic brothers.
Oh, I need more than that.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to try to get you this clue here. Pittsburgh Penguins forward, whose first name was Joey.
Mullen Brothers.
Yeah. Irish.
The McMullen Brothers.
Switch it. Switch the terms.
Oh, Brothers McMullen.
And you got it. You're the first guy to friggin' do it. You did it. Finally. I got a guess. I got a guest that actually got the six movies in 2 minutes. Well done. You get a micro Bitcoin and you had 10 seconds to spare, Vin.
That's all you, brother. It's all you.
I go like this to myself. I said, I got to do the Joey. I know he's going to get this guy. any last, what's in the future for you, brother? Any last words you want to leave with the listeners?
No, I just want them to know that no matter what they're going through, and if they're going through any issues with family, it's never too late to try to, you know, smooth things over.
What do you say to someone who, how do you, let's say I had an issue with Bob and he just doesn't want a part of it. And I'm reaching out my hand. I'm reaching out the olive branch.
Well, you do what you can. And that's all you can.
No, I'm just saying, I think people are listening to you saying, yeah, I've tried to smooth over with my sibling.
Then you've done everything you can.
Right.
And it's up to the other party now to finally come around. But at least you can rest easy that you know you've done everything you can. If there's any doubt in your mind that you've done everything,
then do more. Yeah. That's good. I know you're a reader. You always were. We were never as studious as you. Any you offer any books, any pieces of literature? Inspiring.
I'm a big fiction guy, though. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've always read. And, I mean, my favorite book is Lord of the Rings.
Oh, fantastic book.
You shall not pass.
Well, I mean, just for the character development of Sam and Frodo and their journey together.
Right.
They're like brothers, even though they're not brothers.
Right. Yeah. No, well said. Way to tie that in.
I tried, brother, you know.
Yeah. Way to tie that in. There's a reason why you won the first $20,000 pyramid game out of all the guests. Anyway, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you being candid, sharing the stories, and, I don't know. It doesn't seem difficult for us to share these stories, even though maybe some people listening are mortified by some of those stories.
It was us growing up. I mean, we can't change that. So why would you hide from it?
I'm just saying that it's difficult. It's a difficult listen for some people.
But go ahead. Sorry.
No, who maybe didn't go through that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know it can be difficult to hear things like that. But it was our life. It was what it was, and we dealt with it, and I think we came out stronger for it.
Yeah, but then that suggests that what? If you don't go through that, you can't come out strong?
No, absolutely not.
No, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I know what you're doing, and it could have gone the opposite way.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Completely differently.
Thank you.
But so, I think part of it is because of how tight we are, and because we got through it together.
Right. Well, hopefully even though
I was ready to throw you and Bob under the bus, you know, at every chance I could when we were younger. So no, I didn't want to get in trouble.
You're a jackass, but I appreciate you coming on. And this was fun. I enjoyed sharing the stories. Yeah. And maybe we could delve into some of that other stuff on another episode. Thanks, bro. All right. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye.
See ya.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord.
No judgment. That's how we view our past. I must say, having a big brother, whether positive or negative, definitely has an effect. For me, it was always positive, knowing you have someone that has your back no matter what. I'm reading a book currently called Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman, and I realize that my dad, like many of us, are overwhelmed by System 1 of our thinking. My dad was all System 1. To this day, he is System 1. I know many of us let System 1 override System 2. But if you just take a moment to slow down, it can make all the difference in the world. For my dad, despite all the disciplining, he was the man that had my back when I was blind in Italy for 10 days after my keratoconus eye surgery. That, my friends, is for another episode. We hold no ill will toward our father. Forgiveness, no matter what was done, forgiveness must be front and center. Bitterness will eat away at you. It will slowly destroy you. So just, we must let it go. Human beings are truly, truly fascinating creatures. That's why I'm super excited for next week, as Tucci Talks will be delving into the topic of psychology and human behavior with an individual who's been in the space for about 20 years. I'm looking forward to the education. This podcast is giving me many opportunities to find new rooms to explore, and I'm grateful for that. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Visit the website and talk back if you have any thoughts or comments on today's episode. That's it for me. Happy New Year to everyone. 2021 will be an awesome year, especially to all my brothers and sisters that bought a little bit of Bitcoin. You are just as wise as those institutional investors who have been starting to pour millions of dollars into the network. Don't forget to be kind to one another. And yes, don't forget to add, that's right, a little hallelujah to your day. Woo!